It's officially Super Bowl week now. Eagles, Chiefs, I'm very excited about that. Sean Payton was asked who he was, if he was rooting for anybody or what he was picking. And he said, we are picking the Eagles to win. We don't want anyone in our division to win anything. There we go. Here we go. Hackett was kind of the opposite of that. When he was asked about the Raiders week, you know, my dad had a relationship, a good organization. No, kind of want, I mean, I personally like both team, all four teams to be good. The better the Chiefs are, the sweeter it's going to be when the Broncos finally beat them, whenever that happens. It might happen soon. It could happen soon. But I want coaches and players to come out with a little bit of that rivalry talk. Like, don't you want, Angel, don't you want Mike McDaniel to come out and say, we don't want the Bills to win anything. We're rooting against them. We're against, you're against them. You're against, you hate Josh Allen. Like, you just hate him.
I don't hate him.
It's like the worst person in the world to you.
No. But there's plenty of other quarterbacks.
There's a little of that, though, right? Like,
oh, no, you
want that.
I don't root for the Bills or the Patriots or the Jets to be good.
And don't you want the Dolphins to be that way, kind of? Don't you want the Dolphins to bring that in, that hate in, build up the rivalry week? Don't you want that as a fan?
I think the fans do that more than any coach or player would outwardly say. I can't imagine McDaniel might say some sarcastic remarks.
See, I could see him saying it.
He'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, the Bills, they're a good team, but, you know, we're not the Bills. We're the Dolphins. We're gonna worry about the Dolphins.
I want the way Von Miller said about Arizona, even though they're not in the division, they're not even in the same conference. But years ago, they were bad. I think it was under Vic Fangio. Maybe it was Vance Joseph. I don't remember. They were bad. And Von just said, I can tell you this, we're going to kick their ass. Like, he said that. That's what we're going to do. And I loved that. I want that toward your rivals. You know, I want it. I don't have to have it, like, elaborate, but, you know, Sean Payton just kind of throwing that out there. We don't want our division to win anything. We want us to win, not our division. We're not rooting for them. I personally, like, I'm going to pick this week. I'll pick on Friday. And if I pick the Chiefs, then I'm rooting for the Chiefs. If I pick the Eagles, then I'm rooting for the Eagles. I don't personally have that as much, except for actually rivalry week. When the Broncos are set to play the Raiders, I want a little substance there. I want some Josh McDaniels shade. I want a little of that from both sides. But right now, it doesn't matter. You were booted out. You didn't make the playoffs. You didn't get a shot. So it doesn't matter to me at all that the Chiefs are in the division. I could care less on that side of it. I'm about seeing a good football game. I'm about seeing greatness. And we got a mini dynasty, perhaps, on the cusp right now, and that's Kansas City. They win a Super Bowl now. They're kind of in that dynasty conversation because that would be three trips to the Super Bowl in 4 years and two victories. They're in that dynasty world, at least.
Does Philly have any sort of somewhat of a dynasty, maybe?
Like in the future? Like if they can win this thing and
if
then
they win this one and then 2-3 years from now they win another one.
Could. I could see them being a fixture in this thing. I think Jalen Hurts is the real deal. I do. Some of the games that I watched, unfortunately, a few of the games where I picked them to win, he looked bad. The offensive line looked bad, too. But I've seen enough from him. And Nick Sirianni, man, I like him. I do. I liked when he's at the podium with his kids. They're like making faces and pretending his little daughter's like mocking him and doing what little kids do. He snapped at him, dude. This wasn't like, hey, you're adorable, cutie, and the world loves you. You can do anything. No. Dad's at work, and you're kind of being silly. So shut it. Shut your mouth. I liked it. He went up in my book. He's a hard coach, man. He gets after him. They could be there. The Chiefs, do you call it a mini dynasty? If they win Sunday, is it a mini dynasty, or do you give them full-on dynasty title?
Well, speaking from experience in dynasties, I think you need more than two.
College does different because you do need a lot more to be a dynasty.
More than two. You win two, that's like, okay,
but you've been to three.
You had success in a lot of years. But if you can win three, I think that puts you over the top of, yeah, that era of that team was really dominant. Like kind of what we're seeing with the Chiefs. They're getting there.
Yeah.
You got to win two more for me to be in that
dynasty. What if they go? What if they win this year and just go next year? They don't win it next year.
It won't be looked at as a dynasty. But they'll be looked like, oh, you had a great run in those 4 or 5 years, but you won't. You know, you only won two Super Bowls.
And there's no mini dynasty in your mind?
No, a dynasty is three or more.
So there's just dynasty or not dynasty. There's no mini dynasty.
Successful, you know, runs.
Uh-huh.
Like the Bills in the 90s, you had four great runs, but you wouldn't call that a dynasty.
Had they won two of those?
No.
No? Even though they went to 4-1-2? Would that have been that wouldn't have been. So the Miami Heat aren't really a dynasty then?
No.
The LeBron James.
The Bulls doing 3-2 and then 3, that whole together is a dynasty. But if they had just won the first three, I wouldn't consider that a dynasty.
You mean when they won 6? When Jordan won 6?
Yeah, well, when they won the first three.
Yeah.
If it had just been that three,
uh-huh. It wouldn't have been a dynasty, or it would have been.
It'd be tough.
Basketball is a little different, especially when you have a superstar.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I because you look at the way the Spurs and the Patriots did their thing. The Spurs were kind of spread out, but they were still the same core. That people have asked me this all the time, like what. What constitutes a dynasty? Like, are the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade won it with Shaq and then won it again later with LeBron James and Chris Bosh with and Spoelstra as their coach. Is that part of the same dynasty? So is the Miami? No. Just one player doesn't make it part of the same dynasty. It's got to be kind of the same core, don't you agree? At least the head coach. At least one of the star players, maybe another. So, like, when the Heat won it in 2000, whenever the hell that was, 2000-something, I'm not messing with dates anymore right now because I still believe that.
Seven?
Maybe. But when they won it with Shaq, I got to find out because that's not a part of the same dynasty. 2006, and then they won it in 2012 and 13.
Right.
So it's not part of the same dynasty. Different head coach. Shaq's out. LeBron and Chris Bosh are in. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I think a better example, like opposite of that, would be the Patriots. You take that the first three that they had, and then there was a long little break in there, and then they won three more in a short span. That is a dynasty because the head coach
and the quarterback
and some players were still a part of that core.
But mainly the head coach and the quarterback.
Right.
And your
owner. And they did it three times in short spurts.
Yeah. Spurs, same thing. They did it a couple without Kawhi Leonard, and then Kawhi. But they still, it was Tim, it was Popovich, Duncan,
like
Parker, Ginobili, and then you add a Kawhi. But that you still had the core. If those guys would have left, and maybe Duncan stayed on, then it would because you got Popovich and Duncan. It still might have been considered the same dynasty. It's like the dynasties. I'm going to get into dynasty talk here because I love a good dynasty. It's like the dynasties kind of all take on different forms. So if it would have been Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard without Parker and Ginobili, it might not have felt like the same kind of dynasty, even though it was Popovich and Duncan. Because so much about the Spurs was those three with their coach. The Patriots, we all kind of agreed, Belichick and Brady are going to make anything work. So that was the dynasty portion of the Patriots. The Bulls? What if Jordan would have just... Because, I mean, the first three and then the second three were different. Rodman was in the second three. You know, and different. Scottie Pippen came on a little bit later. But Jordan and Phil Jackson kind of made that the dynasty. The Lakers, was that the same dynasty when Kobe won it with Shaq? He won three of them with Shaq, Phil Jackson as the coach. And then Shaq left, and he won two more with Pau Gasol and Phil Jackson. Same dynasty? Because they were relatively close together. Or different? Is Kobe, Shaq, Phil Jackson different dynasty than Kobe, Shaq, or Kobe, Phil Jackson, and Pau Gasol? That's that one I've always wondered about. What makes the dynasty the dynasty? Is the Lakers, Shaq, championships in the same dynasty as Shaq Less championships. It's hard because of the player. If Shaq was Pau Gasol, for example, and then they replaced Pau Gasol with another Rudy Gobert, like a guy that's not going to go down as the greatest of all time. Shaq's one of them. Then maybe you say, well, it's Kobe and Phil Jackson, right? But because you're removing Shaq from the equation, and then it's Shaq, and then it's Kobe and Phil, it's almost like it's a clean slate. It's almost like to give that run the proper respect is you can't pair them together. I don't know. There's probably no written rule.
I don't think there is. I just think about the Warriors in like 15, 17, and 18. That is could be considered a dynasty.
Are they the same dynasty because you had what you won one without KD and then you won two with KD and then you won another one without KD? Same dynasty?
They won three.
How many have they won?
Three. Or three in the Steve Kerr coaching era.
Right.
So it was 2015, 2017, 2018.
It's an interesting one when you look at it. No, I thought they won it. So 15, they won it, right?
They won it 15.
They won it in 18. They won it 17. Then they won it 2022. So they bookended it. They won two without KD because they won last year. And KD won two in the middle.
Two.
So is that part of? They won four titles in the from 15 to 2022. So are all four of those the same dynasty?
Yes.
Or is it there's the KD version and then probably same dynasty because it was still Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green.
Yep.
Those are the big four. They had enough pieces to make that the real. The Lakers one is interesting. So the Lakers did it. The Lakers did it in 2000, 2001, 2002, I think. I don't remember. What was the year?
2000, 2001, 2002, and then 2009, 2010.
I'm far enough away, but it was still Kobe and Phil. But it's Shaq. Hooligans, what do you think? Like, is that a different dynasty? Because it was two big
and is that
pieces.
Separate from 49, 50, 52, 53, and 54.
Yeah, oh yeah. Definitely, definitely. I'd say you got to have like two or three major pieces similar. But the question is.
And then there was 80, 82, 87, mm-hmm. 98, or 88 with Magic.
And that's a different. They won a lot. They've had a lot of dynasties, dude. To have
that's
three
like
different
three
dynasties.
Right there.
I mean, that's insanity. That Boston's the same way. It's nuts to me to have that many. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043.
One could call it an empire.
An empire, yes. There you go. They're an empire. Several dynasties. The Broncos were never a dynasty, were they? They won two titles in the late 90s. Not a dynasty. I agree with you on the number, although where I think it starts to get interesting is if you go, like the Miami Heat went to four championships with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Went to four, won two. It feels like more of a little dynasty there, but not as obvious as San Antonio and Golden State.
I think that was just a really good 4 or 5 years of Heat.
Not dynasty, though, huh? Are the Nuggets going to be a dynasty? Got to win one. I get it.
I could see it. I would be fine with just one, though.
I'll be content with just one right now. But when they get this one, I'm going to go back. Joker won back-to-back MVPs. Why not win back-to-back NBA titles? What dynasties have we had in the last... In basketball, let's look at all the sports. Basketball, football, whatever. What dynasties have we had in the last 20 years? I mean, the Spurs did it. The Lakers did it. Golden State did it. So in my time of, let's just look at the 2000s. It was basically the Lakers, Spurs and the Warriors. Those were the dynasties. In football, the only dynasty that you and I have witnessed is the Patriots. Is that right? That's kind of crazy to think about it. Basketball, I've witnessed four dynasties because I was alive and kind of watching the Bulls do their thing. So for me, it was the Bulls. The Rockets only won two, so you can't really go there. It was the Bulls. The Showtime Lakers were too early for me. So it was the Bulls, the Spurs, or the Lakers, the Spurs, and the Warriors. For football, it's just been the Patriots. That's the only dynasty for me, for football. That's crazy.
Dallas?
How many did they win? Did they win two in the 90s or three? I want to say two, but it could, if they won three, then I witnessed it. Because I was alive watching Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and all those guys. Yes. I would say the Cowboys are in danger of that if they had three. And in baseball, Yankees, of course,
have had. Cowboys won 93, 94, 96.
So there you go. Okay. There's been two dynasties in the NFL since I've been, aware of what sports means. That's pretty good.
You had the Niners in the mid to late 80s.
Yeah, it would have been outside of mine. Would have known enough about it as I grew older, but yeah. Because the Cowboys were the king in the mid 90s. You're right. How did I forget that one? Cowboys were the king for a while. Astros in baseball. Giants. Yankees. Red Sox. I don't know. How do you want to look at it? The Yankees were winning titles left and right in the late 90s. But how do you want to... If you're saying the big number is three with that certain core group, whether it's a manager, coach, star player, or two. Dixon texting in. If Casey wins this one and another one in another year or so, I think that combined with hosting five straight AFC championship games is bordering on the dynasty talk. Just win another title. Yeah, win two more Super Bowls. You're in dynasty talk. Three is the number. I think three is the threshold. Even though I think it muddies the water a little bit when you are a team like Miami, like the Heat, when you went to four championships in a row, but you won two. But you're not, I'll give it to you. You're not going to give them the full-on dynasty talk there. Dallas had three Super Bowl wins in the 90s. There you go. Oddly enough, Barry Switzer has a Super Bowl ring. Dan Reeves, Marty Schottenheimer, and Bud Grant have none. Yeah. No, I think Kansas City enters the discussion big time with a win on Sunday. And then if they do it again in another year or so, yeah, they've got it. As long as it's Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, maybe just those two. I know Kelsey's a big part of that, but it's the NFL. It's pretty cut and dry. Head coach, quarterback, that's a dynasty. 24 minutes after the hour, more on Sean Payton, more on the Denver Nuggets as well. We'll discuss all things of that nature coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So did Jamal Murray take a shot at Bones Highland on Twitter recently, which led, of course, to a lot of people going after Jamal Murray, and then Murray made another interesting tweet that got him into some hot water. So Murray tweeted something like this, Angel. He tweeted something like, You know, don't be mad at the results if you're not willing to put the work in. So everyone thought he was talking about Bones Highland. So the tweets are going, the replies are going at him, and wow, this is cold. Bones is a great guy, blah, 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 blah. Jamal then tweeted this, Angel, and I don't know if he took it down since, but maybe you can confirm. Man, you guys jumped to conclusions faster than women. And that did not, as you can imagine, that did not do well in the old comment section there. So, I don't know, did you take it down? Still there?
Nope, so both those tweets there. First one, do not complain about what you didn't get
there it
from
is,
the
yeah.
work you didn't put in. And then y'all jumped to conclusions quicker than women with a laughing face.
I'm only laughing because I read that and I went, uh-oh.
And George Carl commented, question mark?
He's saying that in his experience, women jump to conclusions faster than men do. That's in his experience. Why else would he say it? If he hadn't experienced that in his life, we don't know what his experiences are.
I would have hoped
I would not have
a couple
that.
Of years ago that Jamal would have learned his lesson about social media.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From, if you just don't tweet, Jamal.
From the thing that got out yeah. all over. Okay. That was a weird time.
Maybe just don't post anything.
I just think it's... But...
Oh, and then apparently Bones Highland's sister went at him on Twitter as well, kind of defending Bones. And, you know, Jamal had answered a question at the presser two games
yeah,
ago about,
yeah.
yeah, no, me and Bones are fine.
Yep.
You're, you know, or something like that. And I told you last week, I still have a hard time believing this toxic locker room that Bones is somewhat creating. If he has issues with playing time and the coach, I feel like that's him and Malone's issue. But with his personality, I find it hard that a guy that's as happy and optimistic as Bones is all the time, that he would be creating a bad locker room.
All I'm going to say is, Murray came out via Mike Singer and said, you know, it's tough for Bones. No one wants to be in this position. He's doing his best. Me and him are cool. We don't have any problems just trying to keep him in good spirits and know that his time's coming in more ways than one. I guess sometimes I read that and I feel like if there's smoke, there's fire. Is there a little bit of riff? But then on the sidelines, who did they play on Saturday? Was it the Hawks on Saturday?
Yep.
Bones didn't play, but he's standing next to Joker and I think AG or so. I don't know who it was. But, you know, they're making jokes clearly, and he's like looking right up, laughing, kind of involved in the conversation. So I thought that sucks for Bones to have to try to be in this situation, but it seems like he's trying to be not just on the sideline pouting, not like what Melvin Gordon did after he got pulled out of a game.
Sure.
So I have mad respect for Bones. I do think it's one of the weirdest situations we've been in with the Nuggets in a while, since in the Michael Malone era probably, is that with Bones, it's like, I think most people, we're going to try to get Calvin Booth on soon, but I was told we had to wait. Wonder what that means. I bet you people in that facility, I feel like people in that facility, in fact, I know people in that facility, feel like Bones is going to be a really good player in this league. But they don't feel like they feel like they can get better right now in a trade. So they want to win a championship. These windows, we're just talking about dynasties. Golden State, San Antonio, Los Angeles. It is rare. I know a lot of people complain and say the NBA is so predictable. It's the same two teams that not necessarily. I mean, you do have Golden State that's won a lot of titles. San Antonio's won a lot of titles. The Lakers have won a lot of titles, but there's nobody else that's really winning on a regular basis. So it's tough to do, and Denver's trying to put themselves in that position right now. This is what Calvin Booth's job was. I got to help get us over the hump. Tim Conley's gone. Challenge accepted. Let's go. So it is a very interesting spot for them to be in because they do believe Bones Highland could be the next big guy, but not right now. He's not going to help their championship efforts, they don't believe, today. In fact, I think in many ways, I think it could hurt them. He could be a liability out on the floor.
I don't know what your source is or who you talk to for this information is. What is the percentage that he will be traded?
I would say 98.
Okay. Because other scenario, they try to trade him, they don't get something they don't like, and you're forced to keep him, then what does that do to your locker room?
Well, that's what's tough about not playing him at all, is if you don't, for some reason, if all the deals fall through, then you got to go back to, you're here, you're a part of this, and now let's get you back into the rotation.
I know we tried to get rid of you,
but
you're going to be a part of this.
That's why sports is, Tanner and I have this argument. This is why when I'm saying Greg Penner in Walmart, sports is way different than any other situation. Penner even said it. The corporate world versus this, night and day, man. It's way different. Because imagine, Angel, we might be moving on from you. We might be done with you as the producer of the whole show. Next week, that fell through. You're our guy. I believe in you, pal. Just make me proud. Like, that doesn't happen in the corporate world. You're either gone or you're not. You may come back in a different stint or whatever. But in sports, you could easily go up to a guy and say, we're looking to trade you. You don't think I'm good enough? It's not that. We're looking for different results. Couldn't trade you. It's all over social media. We come back. Couldn't get a deal done. But let's take this as an opportunity to say, this is what's meant to be. This is where you're supposed to be, Bones. Yeah, it's a tough dynamic. I'm hearing Jalen McDaniels is one of the names out there in Minnesota. Kyle Anderson. I've even heard former Nuggets Gary Harris and Plumlee out there for potential consistent players that, again, highs won't be as good as Bones, lows won't be as bad as Bones. That's what they're looking for, is they want a flat line. They want a steady kind of guy.
I think the best trade-off would be Bones Highland for Mason Plumlee, straight up.
I think Mason Plumlee would be a fantastic trade.
Because I think the fans would, as upset they would be about losing Bones, they'd be more excited that we're getting a guy back that we know can work in this system.
I have heard, speaking of former Nuggets, check this out, man. I mean, there's as far as the backup center roles, Naz Reid is not a former Nugget, but he's in there. Plumlee, Isaiah Hartenstein, former Nugget, and Jared Vanderbilt. Former Nugget. A lot of guys that they may just be going back to the well. But that's what I'm talking about with Bones. Like, when those guys were moved, when Hartenstein was moved and Vanderbilt was moved, they didn't want to move on from those guys. They saw talent there. But it didn't make sense at the time to where they were trying to go. So they made the moves. That's where Bones is right now. This is the worst one. I think this is where you and I really agree on. Is that if you can't get any players, that you get a first-round pick out of Bones. That would be a mistake. Because that move is doing nothing for the current window right now. And I think if you're, like, Bones is a proven, to me, obviously a proven semi-star. You know, he's going to the Rising Stars Challenge. He's a proven commodity, even though he's inconsistent. A first-round pick, although it's special, the Nuggets aren't going to have a lottery pick. So it's not, unless some team goes all in and gives you a lottery pick, would you do it for the worst team in the league? Made it, said, okay, fine, we'll give you our first round pick, which will likely be, you know, with one of three at least. So if it's like Houston calls you and says, we'll give you our first round pick. It's going to be guaranteed one of three probably, right? Isn't that how it goes? I don't know, lottery's so stupid.
You kind of get the sense that teams and fans around the league don't understand the inconsistencies with Bones, and they only see the highs of him.
Well, yeah, because he's also likable. Fans like the Mile High City, baby. They eat that stuff up. They gobble it up. So that when, this is why I always say with Steve Adazio, I know it's a weird comparison, but it's like, do some of the fun crap, get people to like you, and it's easier when you lose 28-7. It's not good. People are still going to get frustrated and want you gone over time. But if you, Nathaniel Hackett, I think all of us, we all reached a stopping point in the mid part of the season. But I think a lot of people rooted for the guy because he was such a nice guy. He did have a great personality. A lot can be said for that. If you're going to have a bad personality and not be likable, you better be good. Bones Highland is pretty good, and he's extremely likable. And I do think a lot of fans are like, have you seen this guy? The highlights? He's amazing. Plus, he's likable. Will Barton had some amazing highlights, too, but wasn't doing Mile High City baby stuff. Wasn't pumping up the crowd, really, like Bones does. It's going to be a tough loss. In a short time, it would be a tough departure for Nuggets fans in Bones Highland. He's already become a fan favorite. Is it necessary right now? Feels like it is. For a draft pick, aside from a lottery pick, a top three lottery pick, then I'm, I don't know. I have a hard time with it because I feel like it's a window move. 39 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Okay, so the idea that Mark Schlereth or Mike Munchak might be the offensive line coach is out the window for the Broncos. As I talked about earlier, Ian Rappaport reported during the press conference that the Broncos were expected to hire Zach, Strife, their new O-line coach. He was the longtime Saints offensive lineman standout, and he was a favorite of Sean Payton, and he's been moving up the coaching ranks after being an assistant O-line coach. So there's a Saints connection already, which seems like we're going to see more of that. Sean Payton gave his press conference earlier, his introductory press conference at 11 o'clock today. We played that. Actually, what, are we podcasting that? I don't know. Angel, did you podcast that? Okay. So you can go check that out at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. That is courtesy of denverbroncos.com. We were able to get their feed and play that for you. Overall thoughts? It's hard to lose a press conference. I haven't seen it done very often. And I think he did. He won the press conference easily. Likeable. He's a leader. He's the adult in the room. All is good on that front. Can he bring in and scheme up a great offensive line? Well, he just hired a new offensive line coach. That seemed to be priority number one, Angel, and I like that. First hire he makes is the offensive line coach. That if that doesn't say I'm putting this as a priority number one, then I don't know what does. So that's a good move. I'm extremely excited, man. I am. I'm very excited about this. We've gotten through the Harbaughs and the D'Amico Ryans and the who's right and who's not. Listen, just because you report on something and you think this is the way it's going to go down doesn't mean that you're not rooting for the alternative, that you're not kind of intrigued by the alternative. Giving up the draft picks, time will tell. My gut tells me it's going to hurt Denver for another year. But Sean, if anybody can get Russ going, maybe it's Sean Payton. Do you think the Broncos will be as patient with Sean Payton as impatient with Sean Payton as they were with Nathaniel Hackett? What if the Broncos win 5 games next year? Just what if?
I think you would be moving closer to getting Russ out.
Think about that. Isn't that interesting? Nathaniel Hackett, a rookie head coach, gets blown out after his first year because he made rookie head coach mistakes. But if Sean Payton does the exact same thing, he wouldn't get blown out. It'd be Russ, which I agree with you. That's what would happen.
Well, I think we're all confident in saying Payton can give you...
He has a history of winning.
It can give you an offense that can put up points.
So
the biggest question for the Broncos is, can you fix Russell? Can you get him back to what he
was
in
not,
Seattle?
And if not, we'll go find you something else to work with.
Right. I think Payton is the long-term guy, even after Russ, whenever that contract eventually goes up.
Yep.
So he's just going to be working on building his culture while on the side... We're going to try to fix Russ. And if we can't fix him, we'll find a way out, or we'll just keep him on contract and we'll find some other quarterback.
Yeah. No, I get why. I just think it's funny. With the rookie head coaches are expected to win now, and if not, they get fired. But veteran coaches that have a history of winning.
He was a rookie head coach with a veteran quarterback.
Right.
That should have been able to shoulder the load.
It changed things, sure. But they'll be in the same position with the same quarterback, and if the Broncos do the same thing again, you're right. They will. Russell Wilson will be the scapegoat. It's just kind of an interesting thing. The rookie is given less room than the veteran But that's because of the history. That's because, okay, you've shown a history of doing this over time. Now, if you do it again in 2 years, then okay, it's probably rough. Close reporting that Peyton will be interviewing Brian Flores and Sean Desai for Broncos defensive coordinator positions Tuesday via Zoom. Obviously, the news over the weekend, too, was Giro Evero taking the job with the Carolina Panthers as their defensive coordinator. Brian Flores, you talk about people sue, like D'Amico Ryan sued the Texans. Brian Flores sued the Broncos, too. Because they, when Elway interviewed him.
Yeah, he said Elway showed up to their interview kind of disheveled. I mean, that's
like
just
they'd
Elway,
been out all night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he tried to press charges that it wasn't taken lightly.
He also sued the former team that he was employed with.
Yeah, so I don't know why the Broncos would want this.
Brian Flores is a great defensive mind. I think he'd be a great defensive coordinator. In coaching only, the drawback is his personality and how he interacts with players, specifically young players. In my experience with him, he tended to lean more towards the veterans, more specifically guys that were bought into his system and his style of coaching. That's my only thing with Brian Flores, is his personality in the locker room and in the building.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, man. It's a weird, that one is kind of a unique situation, but it's Sean Payton Day here in the state of Colorado with his introductory press conference from earlier today. 49 minutes after the hour, going to wrap up the show on the other side. Let's get to what's on the tube, what's on the radio tonight as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Dixon weighing in on the Dynasty Talk. While Brady is the GOAT, I think we can all really agree that the key to the Patriot Dynasty and Brady's run in New England is that for the majority of that run, the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills sucked beyond belief, basically gifting them home field in the playoffs, etc. Let's be honest. We can be honest about that, but the facts are the facts. I mean, they beat the teams in the playoffs. They won the Super Bowls. Division sucked, sure, but they won them. They're a dynasty. You can't take away that they're a dynasty because other teams are bad.
Well, Brady was 24-12 against the Dolphins. He didn't do great down in Miami.
24-12, though?
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of that division, he was the worst against the Dolphins. And that was mainly because whenever they go down to Miami, they would lose.
Still 24-12. Look at his record against the Broncos. The Broncos owned Tom Brady. That one, that was the franchise that Tom Brady.
1-3.
Yeah, just 1-3?
Versus the Broncos. Oh, that's in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the playoffs. It's not good. Broncos seem to have his number, but yeah, 1-3. Oh, I guess he was 8-6 against the Broncos in the regular season, but 1-3. So, still like a 500. Still pretty good.
We can't do math on this show.
Pretty good. Yeah, we can. Tanner can. Okay, so that whole thing we had that argument about, I asked the question. Because he said if the teams, the data and all that, I'm just going to bring it up one last time. The data of Air Force, okay, well, you can't say that's part of the average because of the COVID year and they only played 6 games. Well, if Joker only plays 67 games and Giannis plays, let's just say 79 games, and Giannis, Joker has more of a point average than Giannis, and we say, well, that should be MVP talk. You can't really do that, though, right? Because they don't have the same exact amount of data. But they do in the NBA. They look at your point average. There is a threshold. But am I right? Yeah. Yeah, we do it all the time, Angel. We take stuff like that all the time. I win. Again. Feels good. Feels great to win. We're going out tonight, Angel. You, me, Tanner, and maybe somebody else. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be a blast. We'll be back at it tomorrow. More Sean Payton talk. More Nuggets talk. More Rams talk. All that and more. Coming up on Tuesday's show. Good night, Northern Colorado.